Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And you're listening to The Night Owl. Hello, everybody. It is Wednesday, November 4th, 2020. We are recording, I'd say we're about a week late. I had a lot going on, so I wasn't quite able to post our current episode that we did. It was actually another post-analyzation of our trip in Portland, but I see that people really did enjoy the Judge episode. There have been about 40 plays on our Anchor platform, and I think that being able to be on Stitcher and iHeartRadio, it's definitely given us more exposure.
Well, that's good. We'll see if that pays off, considering yesterday was voting day for America here, so we'll...
Yeah, we had a few ads on there on how to vote from vote.org, and we also, before that, had a Save Our Stages type charity ad that was supposed to be going towards all the different venues of theaters and nightclubs to just kind of help them out during the quarantine, because as a state of Illinois, we have officially entered lockdown, right? I think October 25th was when everything was supposed to close.
We stepped back as the entire state stepped back one phase.
Mm-hmm. And I was actually with friends this past Halloween, and for the first time in, I'd say, about 5 years, I actually went out to a bar, and that was really fun. But I think that my friends and I were the only ones wearing masks, so I definitely took a very hot shower when I got back. Probably an hour of showering, but it was fun. It was definitely during an important time in the universe, because this year was the only year that we've had in a long time where we've had the brightest moon all year. It was a blue hunter moon, which they occur usually during the fall and winter months, and they're a little bit more blue in color, or bright white in color. And I was able to capture a photo of it using my Canon camera. I used a telephoto zoom lens, and I had to put my settings very similar to as if I was taking a picture of something near the sun, because it was that bright. I mean, it was, you could see in front of your hand how bright it was. Now, wherever the moon wasn't shining on, it was pitch black. And mind you, I was in Ottawa, Illinois, so it was very dark. It's more rural out there. So when a bright moon is shining in the sky, you can see everything. And it was really a cool experience. But I think in light of the moon being so bright, we've come to a head with this political climate of voting for the president of your choice and the judges of your choice and the senators of your choice and whoever... we think that will help save the country. I have to say, I tried mailing in my registration to get my ballot, and that did not work. Someone must have jacked it on the way to our apartment. I did not receive my mail-in ballot, so I just went to a grade school down the street from me and went in and did it. And it was like 5 minutes. I mean, there was no one in line.
So you did early voting. You did not vote yesterday. Yeah. I also did early voting, but I did mail-in.
You voted 2 weeks before me.
But I did the mail-in, and I went and dropped it off at a secure lockbox, and got notification that it went through. My votes were going to eventually count here.
It sounds very CIA. I went to a secure location and mailed my...
Yeah, I mean, here wasn't really that big a deal, because they had set up all over the place. Yeah.
And I know some states didn't have a lot of ballot
but you go to some boxes. Like Texas made a real big deal about the secure boxes, because there was one basically per county.
Yep, there wasn't a lot, and then they were pressuring people to do it, and it's like, with the COVID going on, people don't want to be crammed in like sardines voting.
And now it's kind of interesting to see some of the states and how they handled those mail-in votes. Yeah. Some states were able to do a little pre-count to get ahead of the game until they could. Some states, had to wait until the 0 hour to count them. And now here we are in this. The good news is it does look like, I think, all votes are going to count.
Yeah. So, and at this very moment, they're still trying to wait for Michigan and Pennsylvania.
To be quite honest, there's no hurry.
I'm just really surprised how close they are. I really was surprised. I thought he was going to be way behind. Like, how he's almost as close as he was to Hillary, like the last time. I mean, he's very close to Biden.
It is right now currently very similar, especially when you look at the total number of votes that Biden does have almost nearly 3 million votes on Trump, yet it is extremely, extremely close, but it's close.
We have to wait until January to wait for the Electoral College to
weigh in. Well, we'll see here. It's not definitely going to be by the end of tonight that they're going to know, but each day passing, it does look like things are starting to get to be more certain, especially as some of these key swing states like a Pennsylvania or someplace like that.
Well, I shared.
They're finally getting to count their mail-in ballots. And, you know, some of these states, there's a significant amount of mail-in ballots that had not been counted. I mean, we're talking into 100, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of ballots or votes that have not been counted yet. And in some cases, you know, some of those experts really do believe it'll make a difference.
You know how I love my CNN, Matt. I posted a link from them, CNN Politics, and it's talking about, it gives you kind of the rundown what happens after Election Day. So on the 4th, it says that the more votes are counted. So that's basically like mail-in ballots must be postmarked by November 3rd in every U.S. state, but they can be received late and still counted in many states. In most cases, they can be received within a day or two of Election Day. But in Washington state, mail-in ballots could be received as late as November 23rd, the day before the state certifies its election results. In the battleground states of North Carolina and Pennsylvania, mail-in votes can be received until November 6th. In the battlegrounds of Minnesota and Nevada, they can be received until the 10th. So, and then Ohio, it says the 13th. Why do they call it battlegrounds?
Because those are key states. There are certain states that experts, as far as voting go, will tell you that it's an automatic given. You know which way they're going to vote because they're blue or red.
Okay.
And then there are some of these states that are always toss-up states. And then there are some states, based on 2016, that there were quite a few upsets. And that's kind of what they're talking about here, is that in order for Biden to win, he needs to reclaim some of these states where Trump, you know, basically, you know, shocked the world and upset Hillary. And, yeah, took states that typically
wouldn't have voted for him.
Would not have usually voted red or voted for a Republican.
And then it says November 10th through December 11th, the states certify election results. So each state does it a little differently. But starting a week after Election Day, state governments begin to certify their election results. Those deadlines can be changed in the event of a state recount if there's an extremely close result. Most of these dates occur in the last 2 weeks of November and all, but California's are mandated to occur by December 8th. So December 8th is safe harbor to determine election results and assign electors. So it's under the Electoral Count Act. This is the date by which states are meant to have counted votes, settled disputes, and determined the winner of their Electoral College votes. Governors are supposed to create certifications of ascertainment, listing the winner of the election and the slate of electors. In 2000, the Supreme Court ended a targeted recount in Florida because it could not be completed by this safe harbor date. That recount would have not changed the outcome of the election, but a full statewide recount could have made Al Gore president. This is when it could become very important for Republicans. Well,
that's the infamous hanging Chad incident. And, you know, most people, it's probably a misbelief here that people think that, oh, elections are decided on election night. And there, what you just read is just proof that, indeed, at least for the president anyway, it doesn't really get decided until December ultimately. And that's really how long these states have to come up with the final conclusion to get these counts. Because the reason why we're mentioning that is it is going to get challenged. It already is. You know, this current president's administration has already started suing and trying to block states from counting, trying to block
Because he wants to win.
And in some states, they automatically, due to how close it is, it's going to kick in a recount. He doesn't even have to go ahead and sue. It's just part of they want to get it right.
Well, they said the Republicans that they control more states' legislatures than the Democrats, including the most of the contested 2020 battleground states. And then it says December 14th is the electoral votes cast. In law, this date is the first Monday after the second Wednesday in December. This year, it falls on December 14th. 6 days after disputes are supposed to be settled, electors are supposed to meet in their respective states and cast votes for the U.S. president. They certify 6 sets of votes and send them to Washington. Many states have laws requiring their electors to support the winner of their state's election and can levy fines against faithless electors who go their own way. So that's more about the electors.
Yeah, just kind of the electoral college there.
And then December 23rd, that's when the votes must arrive in Washington, the electoral votes. And then we all know January 3rd, that's when new Congress is sworn in. And then January 6th is when the electoral votes are counted. So I would say, I mean, and then after that, it's inauguration. That's 2 weeks later. I would say just start watching and being aware of the electoral votes on December 23rd. Start paying attention. I'm not saying we shouldn't pay attention in November, but when we're closer to December, December 8th, Safe Harbor is when we should start paying attention, because that's when it has to do with the states and the governors and the people that are politicians that are not, you know, that are going to be working for the president.
Pay attention to that date to see exactly. I mean, because by then, if it is going to be Biden, you know, that's when he ultimately has to concede and say, okay, you win, and agree to leave. And there are some out there that do believe, and it's not just some here in the U.S. It's on a world belief. There are reports out there that countries, including some of whom we have considered allies, are looking at us going prepare for civil unrest here in the U.S. based on the outcomes. We wanted to, I think, kind of highlight some real positive speaking of this kind of election year and politicians, and normally kind of ragging on them, but I think got some.
The last one was about the judges and who to vote, and that honestly did help me when I went to go in and vote. And the reason why we're recording on a weekday is because we were so far behind. I've been so far behind on posting our another episode that we had about Portland, but I feel like that can kind of wait. And I feel like this is the episode I wanna upload after the judge one, because it still deals with politics. But this is going to be shining a brighter light on something better, something positive, like you said. And as a woman of color, I really commend New Mexico, and you know, I really think that I don't know much about New Mexico, but I looked up a article about on CBS News, and mind you, I don't really read articles from bigger platforms like that or Fox News, but CBS is pretty neutral sometimes with their journalism. And I noticed that New Mexico had made history by becoming the first state to elect all women of color to the House. So it said that it elected all women of color to its House delegation. 3 women announced that they had won their districts early Wednesday morning, which were confirmed by the state. So there's a list of people that I want to go over. It says Democrat incumbent Representative Deb Haaland, a member of the Pueblo tribe, won re-election to her House seat against challenger Garcia Holmes. Haaland also made history in 2018 as one of the first Native American women to be elected in Congress. And then they have a picture of her. And this is what they said about the news. They said, tonight the people of New Mexico have chosen hope over fear, love over hate, community over division. And I am so honored that New Mexicans had chosen me to serve in our nation's 117th Congress. So that's what she tweeted Tuesday night. I think it's great that that gives me goosebumps, honestly, because I think that's great that she actually extended her gratitude for that, and just also letting those little girls on the internet know that they can do it too, especially indigenous peoples. I mean, New Mexico, I mean,
yeah,
I would
imagine this year we're probably going to set a record far as the number of female elected officials. I mean, it just seems anecdotally to me, even when I'm, you know, again, using that word railing, but a railing on the fact that I couldn't stand all the political ads. But yeah. I will say this, it seemed like the majority of them were all for women running for some office.
Well, which,
at least if it, there was anything, there was that silver lining in being bombarded with those ads was that.
I think it's great that she...
At least there's a lot of women running for office.
Just think it's great that she was humble about it. You know, that she knows how all the work that she's done to achieve that goal. But that when she got what she wanted and what she needed, she went back and just was humble about it. She thought about the bigger picture. So there's this other woman. She's a Democrat. Her name is Teresa Lagar Fernandez. She beat out Republican Alexis Johnson for the state's third congressional district. Fernandez will replace Democratic Representative Ben Ray Luan, who won the state's open Senate. And this is what she said. She said, "The people of New Mexico have chosen to protect what we love, our democracy, our planet, our families and communities, our health care, and our future." Lagar Fernandez tweeted following the win, "With this victory, I promise you I will take the courageous action that this historic moment demands. Muchas gracias." So I guess they all had to like go on Twitter and talk about, you know, if they won. That's kind of cool that they were like, "Oh, I got to log on to Twitter and say thank you." Like, I guess I should just jump on and get Twitter then, because it seems like everybody has Twitter now. I've just always avoided getting Twitter. I just feel like, it's so oversaturated with people. But that is a way to get your word out. I think more people are on Twitter, are paying attention to what people say than Facebook, because yeah. Facebook's algorithm is so fucked up. You don't ever always see all your friends' feed and what they're doing.
Yeah, it does seem like people maybe have a little bit more faith
freedom,
in how
yeah. Oh, yeah.
That is run versus Facebook and old Mark.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of sold out and he made it kind of too safe in a weird way. And Twitter is all inclusive. You can post photos on there you don't have to censor. You can post whatever you want. I mean, it's definitely all inclusive. You can put your OnlyFans on there. You can say what you want. I mean, you'll have to understand that there are consequences for what you say. But for Facebook, I feel like people want to censor you. And also when you say things that make people upset, they will lunge at you and they'll be offended. But Twitter, they'll just screenshot it and share it on Reddit. That's about what they do for Twitter. This woman, she's Republican, Yvette Harrell, a member of the Cherokee Nation, won her challenge against incumbent Democratic Representative Xochitl Torres-Small in the state's 2nd Congressional District. Harrell had the support of several big-name Republicans, including Trump. She was chosen, which I'm really surprised that she's a Trump supporter. But she said that in honor of my life to be elected to serve, Harrell tweeted, "My commitment to each citizen of our district is that I will serve each of them with integrity as we work together to build our economy and protect the values that make America great." Okay. Okay, what about her? What do you think? I mean, she's part of the Cherokee tribe. I'm just really surprised that she is a Trump supporter. I can see if she's Republican, but being Republican doesn't mean you're a Trump supporter.
I've been this entire time stunned by certain groups that just, without a doubt, full support of Trump.
Yeah, especially if you're a native, Native American.
We've seen it time and time again. And I should not allow myself to be surprised when I see these things, because I keep thinking every time, here we go, we turn a corner. Yep, we're bigger, we're better than this. And then
we're looking at the votes right now.
Yeah.
They're so close together. It's amazing.
I can look back at 2016 and now I can understand why that got close and what happened and why it happened. But for some reason in my head, yeah, I agree. I kind of said, okay, this is going to be slaughter, because most of us realize that this is crap, what's going on? And now it's like, oh, there's a lot of you out there that don't believe that.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, Republicans could do better. I mean, I don't think that you can, you don't have to be a Republican and vote for Trump. You can be a Republican and despise
him. And I wonder how much of that is the reason why it is that close.
Oh, because he's a Republican? Just
because they're voting along the party line.
Which is why they use Kanye, because they figured, just because he's black,
even though he'll get more black votes. Like, well, I mean, yeah, he's not really a good, nice person, but he is a Republican, so...
Well, it's like when people like Chris Brown. I mean, you know, he's a good singer. I don't care if he beat people up.
It's just like...
He's a good singer. It's like, I have
deal breakers. Instead of using my brain to think and have my own thought, I'm going to throw it out the window and just...
You're one of us. Well. It's like, no, he's not one of you. He's not even a Republican. He used to be a Democrat. Trump used to be a Democrat.
I mean, I thought his record spoke for itself and would just...
If you want a president that used to walk into the dressing rooms at Miss America pageants, you go ahead. But I don't support that shit. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat.
But there's time and time again that have shown, you know, there is a population of women that you know,
they may don't not mind agree it.
With that, but yeah. there's still doesn't dissuade them not to vote.
So this one will make you happy. In New York, Democrats Mondaire Jones and Richie Torres became the first two openly gay black men elected to Congress. In Missouri, Black Lives Matter activist and nurse Cori Bush became the first black woman elected to Congress in state. In North Carolina, Madison Cawthorn will soon be the youngest member of Congress at just 25 years old. He'll take the record from Representative Alexstra Ocasio-Cortez, who was 29. I remember her.
Ocasio, from New York.
He's younger. He's 25 years old.
But he's also not. Yeah, he also then screamed in front of the mic about how libs were going to pay for it and how...
There should be an age gap. It should be 45 to 70 is what it should be.
Yeah, he sounded like a...
And in Delaware, Sarah McBride will be the first openly transgender state...
that's pretty great there.
...senator in U.S. history, also making her country's highest-ranking openly transgender official. That's amazing, yeah. That takes a lot of courage.
I need more of that.
Yeah, so good job, Delaware.
Especially in these scary times and these uncertain times. But yeah. When you're looking at the Supreme Court and you're looking at certain acts. Yeah. And
so I just wanted to share that with you and the listeners because I thought that was kind of a little bit of a ray of light shining through. And, you know, you have a couple of bad eggs and that's okay. But if their intentions, if that Cherokee native, if her intentions are good and she wants to help and make everything better, then do it. But I just think the way that she got that position was kind of not fair. She was using big name officials and big name authority figures and companies to help her get this position, whereas other people probably didn't. And they did it on their own.
I mean, that does seem to be the way of the politician.
If your daddy's paying for all that stuff, you better do good then. Like, at least make up for that. Because you got an advantage to be able to get to where you are. And she probably did play the Native American card, where it was like, hey, my people need reparations and no amount of money's gonna help, but hey, you can pay for my campaign. And you can get me in. You can get me in and help me out. So if she can use that to be able to do good, then I'm not going to say I agree, but at least it'll lighten the load a little bit, take the stress off of people who hate Trump, because it's so strange. It's kind of like it's a necessary evil that she was using that way to pay for her campaign. Like, I don't know. It's kind of like she ripped a Band-Aid off, but...
That's why these times are kind of high anxiety because you just like, I understand why you vote on a party line, but...
It's like when someone lies to you to protect you.
Do you think he's a good person? Do you think he's been a good... Really? You think he's done a good... that's why I'm voting for... like that thing you listen to. It's like, well, that's because, you know, that dang old Obama, he's going to turn us into a communist country, so we got to keep voting
for him. We can look at it this way. Maybe she's working from the inside to get... to go through those channels so that she can counteract all of that bullshit that he's doing. Maybe she was like, you know what? I might as well win some and try and get in so that I can do my good.
I don't know. I will not hold my breath because the process is too long. But
it's almost like if someone's trying to lie to you so they can protect you.
Certain numbers and the way certain things are going and projected, I do feel a little bit more at ease at this point in time, especially having woken up to, I should not have allowed myself to have been in that state of shock, but to wake up and just see, this isn't a landslide. There are a lot of people that really,
like, really, guys, you haven't woken up
really?
Yet?
It's been 4 years. This is why I say, even if there is a vaccine and other things, it's just like, we still can't get it right. I mean, there's just too many people here that are just...
Yeah, they're not doing nothing. I just told you about that bar.
They're just loony.
Yeah. So why don't we move on and talk about what you're watching?
Let's move on. Yeah, I mean, we've done this quite a bit here in both season 1 and 2. It always tends to lean on at least the platforms of either Hulu or Netflix, and this tends to be no exception. I believe we've mentioned it before and prefaced it and thought about, let's...
Well, you really wanted to talk about it on the podcast, and I think I didn't really give it a chance at first, and then when we watched it, it was really quite interesting.
There's a lot to it, so...
Yeah.
So what we're talking about here is... what is now a Netflix series, but originally started out as a YouTube series, and that is Cobra Kai. And if that name rings a bell to you, maybe that's because you grew up in the 80s and you were a kid, watched The Karate Kid.
Or you just know, I mean, it's a very popular movie.
Well, I mean, it was a popular series of
movies. If you actually watched it, if you remember.
If you remember, there's actually 4 of them, and that's kind of what I think what immediately sucked me into the series after first kind of resisting and kind of like, but it quickly sucks you in because, you know, it pays homage to the first movie, and then it gets into even the second and third movie as it starts to kind of play out very similar themes and scenes even. But if you're not familiar with The Karate Kid, who kind of those key characters, especially when you think of The Karate Kid, especially for me, when I think Karate Kid 1, I think of Ralph Macchio as Daniel LaRusso. You know, this kind of punk kid moved from Jersey to California with his mom across country. Doesn't know anybody.
I mean, the coming of age story.
It's kind of a coming of age
story. And it's not the one with Jaden Smith. I mean, that one was okay.
And of course, it was classic 80s, you know, it's got the, you know, the pro and the antagonist there, the classic kind of bully.
The rich bully.
Kid.
Yeah.
And Johnny Lawrence. I mean, just a great name for just kind of a bully type kid.
And all the kids trying to be like adults, too. I mean, that's how the 80s were. All the kids were kind of just left alone at home a lot. And they were getting into trouble all the time.
The thing that I like about this that I realize is it's kind of a play on... kind of a running joke that I like to have about whether it's a commercial or other TV shows, and that is, you know, what if they took an angle from this character, this side character, this person standing over here, and they based a whole show or whatever, blah, 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 based on that. Well, that's what Cobra Kai is. It's really based on through the point of view of the Johnny Lawrence character, the one played by William Zabka, who both Ralph Macchio and William reprise their roles as these characters, which is set about 34 years later after The Karate Kid had taken place.
Is it the same town, Reseda?
Yeah, so it's in California. You know, it's a comedy drama. I mean, it started out as a streaming television series. And you can kind of tell, at least within season 1 and in season 2, maybe the production value isn't the best. And
they
did
that on purpose.
You know, there's some kitschiness and some campiness to it. Like I said, it does pay homage to those first movies. But if you can kind of get over some of those campy moments, there are, I think, some real intense scenes in there. I think there's some really good dialogue. I think there's some excellent acting in there. So there's some really fun and just kind of entertaining.
Dark. There's some dark things in there, some serious things in there.
Now that Netflix has picked this up, you can kind of see where this is going to start to go. I mean,
and what do we say about Netflix? They spare no expense, right?
As a fan of Reddit, this is one of my subs that I like. It's not a sub that I thought it was going to be. You know, that's kind of the running joke with it is, those of us that join kind of look forward just to go, oh, I wonder if there's going to be cute little memes. And all of a sudden you realize, no, there's raging stuff as people are just raging about which character is their favorite and the most developed. And
that's good. They need that. Netflix needs that.
Yeah. I mean, it helps kind of push and promote that show. I mean, it sounds like there's quite an excitement for season 3 to come out, which is January 8th. So, yeah, what you're watching, I would encourage you, if you've not seen what Cobra Kai, if you've got Netflix and you've kind of seen, what's the USA Top 10? What is this again?
So, it comes out next year, 2020, of January 8th, right?
January 8th of next year is when season 3 comes out. So I don't really want to get into too much of the story. Just go. It picks up. I mean, it's got a lot of entertainment. It just keeps getting better. I mean, that's what's so exciting about it. It also looks like there's going to be a season 4 as well, which is something we were extremely disappointed about. Remember, Into the Badlands.
But what I really loved about Cobra Kai was, you know how I am. Obviously, you joke that I was born in 86, but I wasn't growing up in the 80s. I had about 3 years until it was 1990, and by then I was 5 years old. So I love anything that's from the 80s that happened before I was born or during that time that I was born. And just like Stranger Things, Cobra Kai and The Get Down are very good at being authentic with what was around during that and what was around during that time. And then the homages towards Mr. Miyagi, they were not cheesy. They were like, I got teary-eyed because they would show you glimpses of Danny when he was young, you know, learning about his strengths and what Mr. Miyagi taught him.
And it does seem to be part of this bigger or greater trend.
Yeah.
Let's bring back something from the 80s and the 90s and reboot it as now. And I would say, for as much as that's going on, this does seem to be authentic. It does seem to take on its own, and it has pulled from what they did in the 80s, and they stand
on their own. And that was in the 80s. That's what I'm saying. That's what's so strange.
I mean, so they stand on their own two feet here in the 2000s.
This is modern. I mean, this is supposed to be modern day.
I have not watched any of the Bayside High stuff. I think some of the other stuff they brought back, like the 90210 stuff.
They brought that back?
Saved by the Bell reboot, yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah.
When did that happen?
That may have to come back around.
All right.
Have everybody in it, with the exception of one Dustin Diamond, a.k.a. Screech.
This Cobra Kai is in... I know Matt doesn't want to give away too much, but it is in modern time, obviously. But
yeah, like I said, it's set 34 years after any crime, if you remember.
But the character, our character, he's the anti-hero.
The Johnny Lawrence.
Yeah, Johnny Lawrence, you love him and you like, we grew to like him and we want him to not fail anymore. And we, now with the story, they're telling you why he is the way he
is. Yeah, I mean, this is one of my greatest fantasies is taking
it's so good.
Protagonist from a movie, and here you have an entire series and story based on him that you would normally not have gotten otherwise. And I just think...
I love that they picked him. And it wasn't Danny and his kids, really. It was just more, it was both of their lives and how they intertwine it. Yeah, it's such a good show. And I'm really glad that they're going to continue production on it, because I have a friend who just won't watch the show. He thinks it's going to be cheesy, and I'm just trying to tell him, dude, I promise you, it's so good. But, I mean,
you have to understand, everybody. I mean, there is some, I think we had, we had our friend Jeff on, and he has mentioned before this term, this Xena Princess Warrior Hercules type effect to shows. If you kind of remember what those series were in the 90s and early 2000s, I thoroughly enjoyed them, by the way.
Yeah.
But there was something to the costumes and to the way that it was filmed and
edited.
Xena
looked badass. And
the production that it was, it wasn't to what production probably is now.
No, because they didn't have CGI like we do, and they didn't have better cameras.
And there is something to the production value of this. Like I said, it first started out as just a YouTube series.
And I didn't know that. I thought it was just going right to streaming. I didn't know it was a YouTube.
But I think even the characters, you can even see them, even the people themselves, they physically change over the course of the filming of this. I mean, you can see them get bigger, older, more physical, and older, and they're growing.
So they really are doing, they really do are giving these actors a lot to work with.
Which, I don't want to give away necessarily a spoiler, but there is a character in there called Hawk.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found out today he was in an episode of Parks and Rec.
He must have been really young then.
He was young. He was in a kid. It was a choir scene.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm sure our listeners will know that. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a choir scene in there, a bunch of them.
I'm sure all of those kids.
He's in the front row. And yeah, it's all those kids in there.
I mean, there's a lot of kids in there, which is great. I'm sure that a lot of those actors will, if they have not been in anything else,
otherwise,
they will continue.
I was going to say the actors that are playing the children and the spurring on the storyline here, I don't really know. I've seen them in very much.
But I'm sure this will give them a platform just to continue to act.
Absolutely.
They'll probably have a hiatus. This will be a good paycheck during the quarantine, and then next year they'll pick up with filming.
It already feels like it has a certain cult-like following to it.
The third season is scheduled for release, so we won't see the third season until January 8th. So then they'll probably do the fourth season.
Yes, which has already been renewed. We know we're going to get a fourth season. That's what's just so exciting,
nice.
Especially if it keeps this up. I mean, it's just...
Netflix isn't affected by quarantine.
They just keep pushing it up. Yeah. Like I said, what you're watching, if you're hurting for something, if you haven't checked it out, I encourage you go look at Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai. And then I also wanted to end on the note tonight. Mama Megan is going to go to collect some yarn because I have a couple of orders for scarves. So I'm definitely going to be busy crocheting my little butt off this month until Thanksgiving. And I think that we will try to do some fun episodes up until Thanksgiving to just kind of deter from the current climate right now. This might be the last episode we can make that has anything to do with politics. I'm done right now.
I'm so exhausted. We're waiting here with bated breath, but don't hold your breath.
Yeah, I think Matt and I would love to be able to entertain you with other topics other than that. We'll maybe talk more about music and art, and maybe talk a little bit more about what we see during the day and what you're watching, maybe some pro tips and some Reddit clips and stuff. And I'm excited. I definitely want to get back into doing the fun things, and hopefully we will start doing more guest appearances.
Yeah, we'll start bringing some guests on. Like you said, we'll get into some of the tidbits.
Anything but political
tips. And
yeah, we love you and we want you to stay happy. Stay healthy.
Stay safe. Stay well.
Wear a goddamn mask. I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And you're listening to The Night Owl.